title in the kingdom than brother. You call me brother, you're elevating me. I want to tell you a little joke before we start the lesson. These two men were arguing about who knew the Bible better than the other one. One guy said, you know, I forgot more about the Bible than you'll ever know. Another guy said, oh, you're crazy. I know so much more about the Bible than you do. You're not even on the same page as I am. And so the guy said, you're just crazy. I know so much more. Well, they argued back and forth. So finally, one of them said, I tell you what, I'll prove to you that I know the Bible better than you do. Another guy said, how are you going to do that? He said, well, I'll bet you $5 you can't quote to me the Lord's Prayer. Other guy said, I'll take that bet. And so he started quoting. Now lay me down to sleep. Pray, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die for a wake, pray, Lord, my soul to take. Other boy shook his head, said, oh, boy, I didn't know you could do it. Here's your $5. You know, we laugh at that, and that's funny. But, you know, I taught school for 42 years. I'm retired now, thank the Lord. I'm retired. I taught school for 42 years, and I tell that joke at school, and the kids don't get it. Seriously, I am not joking. They don't get the joke. Isn't that sad? Exactly. Well, let me say something before I start. This lesson tonight is not designed to foster hate. It's not designed to foster anger or anything like that at all. It's not to promote hate. This lesson is designed to teach the truth of the Bible. Now, you may disagree with me. But it'll be on tape. You can sure talk to the elders, the preacher, and you can get it on tape and go home and study it some more. And study it for yourself and see whether or not what I'm saying is true or false. So just keep that in mind. Jesus taught us to love our neighbor, Mark 12:31. He taught us to love our enemies, Matthew 5:44. Paul said, bless them that persecute you and bless not. We're going to love people. We're going to bless them, even though they may persecute us. That's going to be our attitude. We're going to love people, period. Now, we don't have to agree with somebody, but we're going to teach the truth. Paul said, speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. That's our goal, to preach the truth in love. The lesson tonight, I was called about May. I forget what brother called me. And the title of my lesson tonight is, are we still under the Old Testament law? Is the Old Testament law still valid? Is the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, is that still binding today? Are Christians required to keep the Sabbath? Just put all those questions in one little box, and that's the purpose of our lesson tonight, to study those questions and see. I have seven major points, and the lesson's yours, and we're going to offer an invitation song. What number is that? Did you tell a number yet? Everybody will probably know it anyway. Okay. Point number one, who wrote the Ten Commandments? The Seventh-day Adventists say since God wrote the Ten Commandments, they're still valid today, even the fourth commandment. Deuteronomy 9:10 says, and Jehovah delivered unto me the two tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them were written according to all the words which Jehovah spake with you in the mount of the midst of the fire in the day of assembly. Yes, God wrote them first. In Deuteronomy 9:17, the Bible says, and I took hold of the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and break them before your eyes. Yes, Moses broke the tables written by God. In Exodus 34:27, we read, and Jehovah said to Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with Jehovah 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't neither eat nor drink, nor eat bread, nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. God had Moses rewrite the Ten Commandments. Even though Moses wrote them, they're still binding and authoritative today. You remember in the New Testament, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of this, that the things that I write, they are the command of the Lord. So even though Paul wrote them, they still come from the Lord. If you go against what Paul wrote, you're going against the Lord. I was in a Bible study one time, and this lady, I quoted a verse, and the lady said, well, who wrote that? And I said, well, Paul did. I never will forget, as long as I live, what she said. She said, well, I don't accept what Paul wrote. Jesus endorsed Peter. Peter said, whatever you bind on earth will already be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will already be loose in heaven. And Peter said that Paul's writings are scripture. 2 Peter 3:15-17. So if you say that what Paul wrote is not scripture, you're actually going against Jesus. Because Jesus endorsed Peter. Peter endorsed Paul. There you have it. Point number two tonight. The covenant made at Mount Sinai was with Israel and Israel alone. In Deuteronomy 5, I'm going to read this. Jehovah our God made a covenant with us, that is us Israelites, in Horeb. Jehovah made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. Notice very carefully, this covenant was not made with their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 sons, etc. This covenant was not given to any prior generation. This covenant was given to those at Mount Sinai. Notice the words, us, us, even us here alive this day. Some people claim because of Exodus 20 that the Sabbath commandment actually started in the Garden of Eden. No, it didn't. Read all the Bible. Read Deuteronomy 5, verses 2 and 3 very, very, very carefully. That verse is clear. Now, what was this covenant? Well, the heart and soul of it is the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 34, verse 27, we read verse 28 says, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So the covenant is in essence the Ten Commandments. Notice again, Deuteronomy 5, Jehovah our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Covenant being the Ten Commandments, us, that is us Israelites. God gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, not you or me. In Nehemiah 9, verse 13, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right ordinances and true laws and good statutes and commandments and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath and commandest them commandments and statutes and a law by Moses thy servant. The word them refers to Israel. The Sabbath day commandment was made known at Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments were given by God to Israel on Mount Sinai, not before. The Sabbath day observance was a sign between God and Israel, not between God and you and me. In Exodus 31, verse 17, the Bible says, or God says, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel. Now, the word sign in the Bible does not always have to be miraculous. It just doesn't. Do a little Bible study. In Exodus 31, verse 16, the Bible says, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. The commandment to keep the Sabbath was for the Israelites, not Christians. Point number three, how long did the Ten Commandments last? Specifically, how long was the fourth commandment to last? Some have taken the words perpetual and forever and have concluded that the Ten Commandments are binding today. Thus, the fourth commandment is binding today. Well, look at Exodus 31. If you have a Bible, I'll give you time to turn there and read there with me. Very important passage. Exodus 31, verse 16. Some of you are turning your Bibles. Some are turning pages. Exodus 31, verse 16. The Bible says, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Notice who is to keep the Sabbath. Verse 16, the children of Israel. How long was it to last? Very important phrase. It says, throughout their generation. See that in verse 16? That's how long it was to last. As long as the nation of Israel lasted, existed, then they had the command to keep the Sabbath day. Isaiah predicted the end of Israel. In Isaiah 65:15, Isaiah says, and ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, and the Lord Jehovah will slay thee, and he will call his servants by another name. The name Israelite gave way to Christian. God's people are now Christians, not Israelites. Now, I want you to turn to Matthew 21. This is imperative. You need a Bible. Certainly, if you didn't bring your own, hopefully there's one in the pew in front of you. Brethren, you need to buy a Bible and bring it every time you come to church. Okay? And if it wears out, buy another one. If you can't afford it, come see me. I'll help you get one. All right? Look at Matthew chapter 21. We have a very, very, very important parable. In Matthew 21, let's read it, starting in verse 33. Matthew 21, I love to hear those pages turning. Matthew 21, verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a man that was a householder who planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into another country. And when the season of the fruits drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen to receive his fruits. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them in like manner. But afterward, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But the husbandmen, when they saw the son, said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. And they took him and cast him forth out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the Lord of the vineyard shall come, what shall he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those miserable men and will let out the vineyard unto other husbandmen who shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith to them, did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. This was from the Lord, and it was marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And he that falleth on this stone shall be broken to pieces, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will scatter him as dust. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. Surprise, surprise. Verse 46, and when they sought to lay hold on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. Please notice verse 41. The application is God's kingdom will be transferred from Israel to the church. The stone in verse 42 is Jesus, who was rejected by the Jews, the builders. Notice verse 43, a key passage. The kingdom will be taken away from the Jews and given to the church. The church is called a holy nation in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Notice verse 45. The chief priests and Pharisees understood that he was talking about them. They understood that. Jesus here is predicting the end of the nation of Israel. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus predicts the destruction of the Jewish temple and the end of Judaism. In Matthew 24, 28, the nation of Israel is referred to as a carcass. A carcass is a dead animal. The church started around 33 AD. So in 70 AD, when Jerusalem was destroyed, Israel was a carcass. Israel was dead as God's people. The Jews were no longer God's people. In Galatians 6:16, Paul said, and as many as walk by this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Paul in Galatians 6:16 is calling the church now the Israel of God. The death of Christ on the cross and the establishment of the church in Acts 2 ended the nation of Israel as God's people. Therefore, the fourth commandment ended as well. Now, we're still discussing Exodus 31. Look at the words perpetual covenant, verse 16, and forever, verse 17. Some take these words to mean the fourth commandment is to be observed today. In context, they are defined throughout their generations. So when Israel ended, so would the fourth commandment. The words forever are from the Hebrew word olam, which means age lasting. It doesn't mean endless time. It means to last as long as the age lasted. The Jewish age has ended, and therefore so is the fourth commandment. In 1 Samuel 1, let me just read this to you, verse 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto Jehovah the yearly sacrifice, and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before Jehovah, and there abide forever. Now let me ask you a question. If you were to go to Jerusalem today, would you find Samuel in the temple? She said he'd be there forever. That's what she said. But the word forever is the Hebrew word olam, which means age lasting. He would be there as long as his age lasted. Not endless time. The words forever in verse 22, or look at verse 27, 28, 1 Samuel 1, 27, 28, the words forever really defined also, if you didn't know Hebrew, verse 27, for this child I prayed, and Jehovah hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have granted him to Jehovah as long as he liveth. Forever is modified as long as he liveth. As long as he liveth, he's going to be in Jerusalem. So forever doesn't mean endless time. Now, another illustration is Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah? Great story, okay? Great story. In Jonah 2:6, Jonah says, "The earth with its bars closed upon me forever." Well, was Jonah in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, or was he in there forever? He says he was in there forever. I'm sure it felt like forever. But forever is the word olam, which means age lasting. He was in the belly of the great fish as long as the age lasted, as long as the time he needed to learn his lesson. And luckily, he did learn it. The Passover was to be kept forever, Exodus 12:14. If the fourth commandment is still operative, so is the Passover. To demand the fourth commandment be kept but not the Passover is not being intellectually honest. But notice in Exodus 12:14, the Passover was to be kept throughout your generations, as long as the nation of Israel existed. The words perpetual means continual. But in contrast, it is defined throughout your generations. Look at Exodus 29:42. We have instructions on the burnt offering. It shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tent of the meeting before Jehovah, where I will meet with you to speak there unto thee. Notice the instructions for the burnt offering. They were to do it throughout, it's a continual burnt offering throughout your generations. So as long as the generation existed, they were to keep it. In Exodus 30:8, we have instructions on burning incense. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn it, a perpetual incense, before Jehovah throughout your generations. Again, how long was this incense to be observed? Throughout your generations. Leviticus 23:14, instructions on the feast of the first fruits. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched grain, nor fresh ears, until this selfsame day, until ye brought the oblation of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Again, notice the words forever, the word olam, which means age lasting. But again, they're defined in context throughout your generations. When the nation of Israel ended, all the commands for the Sabbath, Passover, burning incense, feast of fruits, etc., ended also. They do not apply today. They were for the nation of Israel, not you or me. Point number three. Some say since Jesus kept the Sabbath, we should do also. Yes, Jesus did keep the Sabbath. Jesus born, lived, and died in the Ten Commandment covenant, and it was intact at that time. When he healed the lepers, he told them to go show themselves to the priest. Why? Because the Old Testament law told them to. So he was following the Old Testament law. Jesus taught his disciples to obey the law, Matthew 23:1-4. Jesus also observed the Passover, Feast of First Fruits, etc., etc. But should we do that? Point number four. Very important. What was the purpose of the law of Moses? Now, please turn to Galatians 3. Please take your Bible and turn to Galatians 3. Here's an extremely important passage. In Galatians 3:23, the Bible says, "But before faith came, we were kept in ward, in prison, under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So that the law has become our tutor to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor." Well, Paul's point here, the word faith there really should be translated the faith. The word, the article "these" in the Greek. And so it should be rendered the faith, which refers to the New Testament plan of salvation through Christ and the church. Before the faith came, Paul says, we were kept in ward in prison under the law. Shut up into the faith, he has the word article there, the, which should afterwards be revealed, so that the law has become our tutor, our schoolmaster. One version says bus driver. The word tutor there is the Greek word pedagogue. The job of a pedagogue was to take the child from the home to the school. It was not his job to teach the kid. It was his job to get the kid from the home to the school and from the school back to the home. That was his job. Well, the purpose of the law of Moses was to get us unto Christ. Notice again, verse 24, so that the law has become our tutor, our schoolmaster, our bus driver, one version says that, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But now that the faith is come, we're no longer under tutor. Notice verse 24, the purpose of the law was to bring us to Christ. Now that the faith has come, Paul says, we are no longer under a tutor. We are no longer under the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament law. How plainer can you get? Now, brethren, that's not a matter of interpretation. That's a matter of acceptation. Just have to accept it. You don't have to interpret it. You don't need a PhD for that. Number five, point number five. The law of Moses has been removed. In Ephesians 2:14, Paul says, for he is our peace,
who made both one and break down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Notice, the middle wall of partition was the law which separated Jew and Gentile. The Old Testament law of commandments has been abolished, nailed to the cross. Colossians 2, verse 13, and you being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he had taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Notice, the bond written in ordinances that was against us, that's the Old Testament written law, Christ nailed it to the cross. In Romans 10, 4, Paul said, for Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness. You want to be right with God, it's not going to be through the law of Moses. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Hebrews 10, 9 says, he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. The first is the first covenant, the old covenant. Establish the second, that's the new covenant. So the first covenant has been taken away. It's what the text says. In Hebrews 10, verse 1, the writer says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect them that draw nigh. The Old Testament law was a shadow. A shadow is not the real, but only indicates that the real exists. The reality, the real, is the new covenant. Now, if you have a Bible, we're going to read Hebrews 8. I didn't have all those verses memorized. I had them written out and put in my notes. I cheated. When you get to be 67 years old, you can cheat. That's legal cheating, by the way. Turn your Bible to Hebrews 8. Turn your Bible to Hebrews 8, verse 6. In Hebrews 8, verse 6, the Hebrew writer says, but now hath he obtained a ministry the more excellent by so much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which hath been enacted upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then would no place have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind, and on their heart also will I write them. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his fellow citizen, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more. In that he saith, the new covenant he hath made the first old, but that which is becoming old and wax age is nigh to vanishing away. Please notice verse 11. And they shall not teach every man his fellow citizen. You can't get into the new covenant without being taught. Jesus said in John 6, they shall all be taught. Christianity is by being taught. Now, in the Jewish religion, when a little baby boy was born, he was automatically born into covenant relationship with God. And then he had to be circumcised on the eighth day. Automatically born in covenant relationship. As he grew older, he had to be taught about the covenant he was in. But in the new covenant, you can't get into the new covenant unless you're first taught. There's a big difference there between the old and new covenant. But notice there the distinction that the Lord said he would establish a new covenant. And he's done that. The new covenant predicted by Jeremiah 31 has now made the first old and without authority over us today. Unfortunately, some Christians take this to mean we don't need to study it. Wrong, 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 wrong. We need to study our Bibles, brethren. That includes the Old Testament. Did you know that 77% of your Bible is Old Testament? When Jesus was tempted three times, what did he say? It is written, and he quoted the Old Testament. We need to know the Old Testament. Romans 15, 4, whatsoever things are written aforetime, written for our learning, that we, through the patience that comes from Scriptures, might have hope. The Old Testament is written for us, brethren. We need to study it and know it. That's one of the weaknesses of our brethren. Myself included, I've made a commitment to know more about the Old Testament than I did before. I'm studying the Old Testament, and we need to study the Old Testament. We need to preach in the Old Testament. Point number six tonight. There has been a change in the priesthood and law. Jesus could not have been our high priest under the law of Moses. In Hebrews 7:14, the writer says, "For it is evident that our Lord has sprung out of Judah, as to its tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priest." So Christ was of the tribe of Judah, and he had to be a Levite from the Levi to be a high priest. Therefore, Christ could not be a high priest while he's on this earth. In Hebrews 8, verse 4, the Bible says, "And if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, seeing that there are those who offer the gifts according to the law." So some changes had to be made to allow Christ to enter that high priest office. Hebrews 7:12 says, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law." Notice, made of necessity a change also of the law. The law was changed. If you change it for one commandment, then you change it for all of them. Point number 7, last major point, and then we'll have a conclusion. Let me give you some points to think about. The Sabbath was given to man after Israel, left Egypt. It was given only to those delivered from the Egyptian bondage. It wasn't given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were not to build a fire on that day. They were not to leave the house. They couldn't bake nor boil on that day. The Sabbath was to be kept from sunset to sunset. Any Sabbath violator would be stoned to death. The Sabbath was a part of the law of Moses. It was nailed to the cross. The Sabbath law was nailed to the cross. To be justified by the law is to fall from grace. We'll talk more about that in a minute. The Sabbath was given at Horeb, Mount Sinai. But we are not come to Mount Sinai, Hebrews 12:18. There were two covenants, the first and second. The Sabbath observance is in the first. The first made way for the second. The law came by Moses, but truth came by Jesus Christ. Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness, Romans 10, verse 4. If you study the book of Hebrews is a marvelous study. Marvelous study. It really is. It quotes the Old Testament some 400 times, something like that. I don't remember the exact number. But the book of Hebrews is primarily written to Jewish Christians who were thinking about, tinkering about, the possibility of leaving Christianity and going back into Judaism. Read the text. It's what it teaches, okay? Well, the writer's main point is to show that Christianity is better than Judaism. He used the word better 13 times in the book. By the way, there's 13 chapters in Hebrews. The word better is found 13 times. And so, Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. Christianity is established upon better promises. The sacrifice of Jesus is better than the Old Testament sacrifices. And on you can go. Why do you want to leave what's good and perfect and better and go back to something that's not as good and not better? Why do you want to do that? And that's what the writer of Hebrews points out. If you have a Bible, turn to Galatians 5:4. Galatians 5:4, I'm going to teach you some Greek tonight. It's not going to go over your heads. You can understand it, okay? In Galatians 5:4, Paul says, "You are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law." If you're trying to be justified by the law, you're severed from Christ. I didn't write the Bible, brethren. That's what it says. "You are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law." You are fallen away from grace. You can't be saved without the grace of God. That's impossible. And if you're once saved, always saved, once you get the grace of God, you can't lose it. But the problem is, the text says they've fallen away from grace. Well, the way the once saved, always saved people try to interpret this is, they say they were on the edge of grace, they were on the edge of grace, and they fell away from the edge of grace. They never were in the grace of God in the first place. Problem is, the Greek text won't allow that. The word apopipto means to fall from the edge of. That's not the word, Greek word found in the Greek text. In Galatians 5:4, the Greek word is the Greek word ekpipto, which means to fall out of. They were within the grace of God, and they fell out of the grace of God, which proves they're not once saved, always saved. That doctrine's a false doctrine. And the reason they had fallen out of Christ, fallen out of grace, is they were trying to be justified by the law of Moses. If you do that, you're separate from Christ. You've fallen out of grace. So, very important understanding here of that verse in the Greek text. In conclusion, brethren, one not observing the fourth commandment was to be stoned to death. It is inconsistent to say the fourth commandment is to be observed but not the penalty for the non-observance. When's the last time you heard of somebody being stoned to death because they didn't keep the Sabbath? It is not a sin to mow your yard on Sunday, but it's a sin to neglect the worship. That's the difference, New Covenant, Hebrews 10:25. 9 of the 10 commandments are brought over into the New Testament. If you study the Old Testament and New Testament, you'll see that 9 of the 10 are brought over directly into the New Testament, applied today, applied to us, and the fourth one is applied in principle, The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. In principle, it's applied, but not exactly. So I hope and pray this lesson has been beneficial to us all. Don't hesitate to ask me a question or come see me sometime when this is over, or you want to call me, I'll be glad to talk to you. I may not have an answer, but I'll try my best. We never want to close the service without offering the invitation. We're going to ask this brother here to lead us in a song. This will be the invitation song. If we could help anyone for any reason, would you come now? We stand and while we sing.
9:20. Just as I am without one plea, but there thy blood washes for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.